بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله الذي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين
اللهم
صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد لا سيما بقية الله العظيم جل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. We said that with respect to the authenticity of the text, what we call sanad. For the Quran, we don't have any issue, because Quran is certainly the same thing that has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet. With respect to hadith, we said we have to investigate, and we need to inquire about the narrators of hadith, and that is done in Ilm al-Rijal. We have to inquire about different types of hadith, which one is hujjah, which one is not hujjah, in Ilm al-Dirayat al-Hadith, and then in Ilm al-Usul al-Fiqh. Now, we move on to the next discussion, and that is about studying the text. Dirasatul matn, studying the actual text that we have. Here, again, we have two issues. One is to make sure that the text that we have is accurate. What we call it, dirasatul tahqiq al-matn. We want to verify the test. For example, you may have a Quranic quotation. This Quranic quotation might be written by someone carelessly or by mistake. Although we don't have any doubt about the Quran, we don't have any question about sanad of Quran, but what about this text that a person has written? A person is arguing from the Quran. We have to make sure that this is identical with the real Quran. This is called dirasatu tahqiq al-matn, a study of the veracity of the text, or to verify the text. The second is dirasatu dalalat al-matn, to inquire about the indication, about the meaning of the text. What does this text imply after making sure that it is reliable? When you made sure that this is a reliable text, then what do you understand from it? Many times, actually, the job of faqih here is much more. After lots of work that they have to do to check the sanad and everything, but then when it comes to the riwayah, how do we understand, how do we interpret this riwayah? What should we do if we have conflicting hadith? So there are many, many things here that we have to discuss. So dirasatu dilalatil matn wa taduru hawla ma'rifati ma'na an-nass. The second dirasa, which is about dilala, is about understanding the meaning of the text. Okay. Now, first we see these two about the Quran, second about hadith. With respect to the Quran, as we said, we don't have any doubt about the Quran itself. We don't have any doubt about the Quran not being subject to increase or decrease, but we have to make sure that these words which are presented to us in a book, in a text, are exactly identical with the Quran which was revealed. So this is something that we have to make sure. We have also an issue that you might have been already heard about the issue of qira'at. You know, different types of recitations of the Quran, you know, different like versions. Of course, Quran has been revealed in one way. But then there are seven qira'at which are very famous, and then there are many non-famous qira'at. Here there's a discussion among fuqaha whether we accept all the seven qira'at or only one is accepted, which is the one which is from finally Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, Hafs and Asim from Kufa, who was from Amir al-Mu'mineen, receiving from Amir al-Mu'mineen. So this is a discussion. But sometimes this would not affect the meaning. For example, you want to recite it in your salat. Can you recite according to a qira'ah which is not one of the seven, or you have to do it exactly according to those seven, or even those seven are not accepted, only should be one, which is Hafs and Asim. So sometimes it's just a matter of recitation. But sometimes it has impact on your fatwa, because the meaning can change. For example, if you look at page 34 of the book, or if you look at the Quran, Surah Baqarah, verse 222. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ. They ask you about the condition of women in their period. قُلْ هُوَ أَذًا. Say this is a kind of inconvenience for women. فَاَعْتَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ. So there should not be marital relation in that time. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْحُرْنَ. Do not approach your wife till they are yathurna or yattaharna. If it is yathurna, means till they become clean, means that it's finished. If it is yattaharna, means they seek purity, which means when they do ghusl. So the fatwa can be one of the two, that marital relation is permitted when period finishes, if it is recited yathurna, or marital relation is permitted when period finishes and ghusl is performed, if it is yattaharna. So here for faqih is very important to make sure that which qira'ah is reliable, because it affects the fatwa. It's not something that does not affect the fatwa. The same thing can happen in hadith. You have to make sure that the way hadith has been read is correct, is accurate. Something also you have to remember is that in early days, early years, they didn't use punctuation. Even they didn't have, you know, dots. Okay? There was no dots. So it was very difficult. Even today, if you look at the Kufi manuscripts, you see there are no dots. So nowadays for us it's very difficult, but they were used to this, you know, to read without dots. You know, like for example, for people who are not used to reading Arabic text without A-E-O, they cannot read. But those who are used to it without A-E-O can read. Mm-hmm. Those people were able even to read without dots.
That's amazing.
Yes?
No dots.
It's like, you know, the people who live in desert. Sahara, mm-hmm. They call it Sahara. So I was hearing to someone, and he said that when, for example, Assalamu alaikum, Muslims from North Africa who had lived in deserts, they were brought up in desert, when they went to Spain, okay, so then there was no need for covering their face. Because in deserts, they used to cover, even men, their face, only their lips, and a little of eyes were not covered. Everything else was covered. So people could identify each other just by looking at the lips and a little of eyes. We cannot do that because we are not used to this. But imagine if you just were seeing lips of people all your life, then you would be able to identify people by lips. So when they went to Spain, then they uncovered the whole face. Then they were not able to identify each other. So, it's amazing, how we are conditioned by differences of the situation. So those people were able to read without dots, but sometimes mistakes could have happened. Like when you don't put i'rab, mistakes can have happened. So a term can sometimes grammatically be correct in two ways. For example, it can be jim or ha. Do we have a good example here? There is a hadith which says man jaddada qabran aw mathala mithalan faqad kharaja an al-islam. Whoever does jaddada, I will explain, because this can be interpreted in different ways, so the meaning will change. I will come back to jaddada. So whoever does this to a grave, أو مثل مثالا, he makes a statue of something which has life, a spirit, he has gone out of Islam. We are not talking about the sanad of hadith, we don't talk about other evidence, just as an example. If this is read jaddada, it comes from jadid, which means to renew. Imagine there is a grave, by passage of time, it's destroyed, it's damaged. So if you read it jaddada, means the one who renews, rebuilds, reconstructs the grave. Okay? If you read man haddada, haddada comes from hadid, hadab, means sharp. Hadid is used for iron because sharp. Man haddada qabran, that the meaning is whoever makes the grave, sharp, like a camel's mount. Yeah?
Sharpens it.
If it will call it haddada. Boy, ha. You make it in the way that on the top there is a sharp.
It's a jim, so why would they say haddada?
There's no dot.
You know, it can be read one of the four.
Yeah.
Or man jaddatha. Sometimes, if you read quickly, dal and fa can look the same. If there is no dot. So, man jaddatha, which then means a grave that has been used for a dead body, then you put another dead person in that grave. Man jaddatha. Ghabran means a grave which is already used, you put another body in that grave. So there are, and also there is khaddada, man khaddada, which means to open and undig the to dig and open the grave. You know, we say nabshakar, or you know,
yes,
means someone is buried, you open, then the body will be disclosed, and so this is not right. So it can be jaddada, haddada, jaddatha, khaddada, different meanings. So you have to make sure, because you cannot say Imam has said or Rasulullah has said all the four. Yeah, one was the one. If you cannot establish which one was correct, then you cannot use any of them. There is a rule that you should remember. Remember this rule. إِذَا جَاءَ الْإِحْتِمَالِ بَتَلَ الْإِسْتِدْلَالِ إِذَا جَاءَ الْإِحْتِمَالِ بَتَلَ الْإِسْتِدْلَالِ If a probability comes, reasoning is void. If you can interpret in another way and there is a legitimate alternative interpretation, you cannot then use this hadith for your own purpose. When there is another probability, another possibility, another alternative, batal al istidlal. إِذَا جَاءَ الْإِحْتِمَالِ بَتَلَ الْإِسْتِدْلَالِ It means that when there is a possibility of another interpretation, you cannot argue from this text. Okay? So, if you use a hadith or Quran and bring an interpretation, and another person says, this can be also interpreted in this way, not in your way. If that interpretation is also legitimate, then you cannot argue for yourself. So we should put both of them under question mark. Yes.
Shekhan, what about different interpretations that are both correct, like different horizons of understanding, not on opposition to each other?
Yeah, if they don't conflict and they match with each other, it's okay. But if it is a matter of either or, then both of them become invalid. Both of them. There is another example. There is a hadith, a person asked about, before I read the Arabic text, please imagine the scenario. The scenario is a person, okay, asked Imam alayhi salam that what is the ruling about Tahara and Najasa for me? Rain was coming, and then a person on top of a roof was making wuzu, but apparently this means wuzu means cleaning, ghusl. Means he was, for example, najis and cleaning himself. Then, from the water of rain and the water which that person was using for cleaning, something reached me. So, am I affected? My body, my dress is najis or not? There are two different versions of this hadith. One says, يَسِيلُ عَلَيَّ مَاءُ الْمَطَرِ If you look at the text, page 35, he says, قُلْتُ, I told Imam, وَيَسِيلُ يَسِيلُ means flowing. عَلَيَّ, on me, مَاءُ الْمَطَرِ Water of rain. Water of rain is coming to me, but أَرَى فِيهَ التَّغَيُّرُ I see this water smells, for example. You know, it smells of najasa. وَأَرَى فِيهَ آثَارَ الْقَذَرُ I see dirtiness in this water. فتقطر القطرات علي. These drops drop on me. وينتظه علي منه. And some, you know, they splash. They say splash on me. والبيت يتوضع على سطحه. And this water which is coming to me from rain but has signs of dirt and smells is coming from a house on top of which they go and they clean themselves. Mm-hmm. Now maybe they use it as a washroom, toilet. Mm-hmm. You know, sometime in the past they used to do it on top of the house or on a balcony, still in some places maybe. فَكَيْفَ عَلَى ثِيَابِنَا. So now what is the ruling about my dress? Is it najis? It's not najis. The reason he asked this question is because it was rain. And you know the water of rain is clean. And also it is flowing water, current water. So it would not be najis by touching najis. But if it is affected by najis, then of course it's najis. So, according to this hadith, Imam alayhi salam said, "Ma bidha ba'asun." Ma bidha ba'asun means la ba'asa bihada. Ma bidha ba'asun means no problem. La taghsiluhu. You don't need to wash your dress. كل شيء يراه ماء المطر فقد طهر. Everything that receives rainwater, it's clean. Rainwater makes it clean.
Even if the awsaf thalatha have changed.
Okay, so now it depends on how we read this hadith. If we read يسيل علي ماء المطر, it means that now water of rain is coming to me, but maybe some other water is also coming. So the interpretation of hadith is that because water of rain is coming to your dress, it's cleaning your dress. But there is another edition of hadith which says يَسِيلُ عَلَيَّ مِنْ مَاءِ الْمَطَرِ. It doesn't say water of rain is coming. It says from. So there is a possibility that maybe then this was not direct. Rainwater was going to the roof and then from drain it was coming on this person. So, depending on how you read the hadith, the interpretation can be different. And for sure, the second would be problematic. If you want to say that without connection to rain, it would be clean.
Even if it's with the rain, the color is different or the smell is different, it's still spark.
No, it's not spark. If rainwater, but according to first interpretation, rainwater is coming on you. There is also najis water, but rainwater is cleaning that najis water. So your dress is najis by water of roof, but rainwater is cleaning. But according to second reading, it will become problematic. Because rain is going to the roof with those najis, it's coming and it's already changed and affected. Then we cannot justify cleanliness of this. We have to reject it. So these are things about تحقيق المتن. تحقيق المتن. This is not about sanad. Maybe both are correct. Both are sahih. This is not about sana. This is also not about dalala. Don't think it's about dalala. Dalala is after you secure the text. We are in a state before going to dalala. We wanted to see whether there is man or no, whether this is haddada or the, still we didn't talk about dalala. It's about establishing the text. What is actually the text? So this is called dirasatu tahqiq al-matn. With respect to the Quran, it comes because of different recitations, qira'at, and because of maybe the way people have written. With respect to hadith, it's very open. You may have, you know, different reasons for having different texts of hadith, different editions, different versions. After tahqiq al-matn, we go to dalalat al-matn, to the meaning of the text. Dalalat al-matn. Dalala, you had it in mantiq, you had it before. Dalala means from something we understand another thing. Indication, or sometimes we say significance. So what is the significance or the indication or the meaning of the text? Here, what we need is the same with respect to the Quran and Hadith. The rulings that we follow, the linguistic rulings, are the same. First, you have to establish whether this text is mujmal or mubayyan, whether this text can be carrying different possibilities and therefore it becomes ambiguous. إذا جاء الاحتمال بطل الاستدلال. Or it has one meaning which is either the only meaning, or one meaning which rational people consider it and disregard other possibilities. Shall I repeat? Did you get it?
You better repeat it.
So the text is either mujman, means unclear, ambiguous. How a text becomes unclear? There are different ways. Sometimes, for example, it's like huruf muqatta'i. Kaf, ha, ya, ain, saad. You don't understand anything. Yeah, okay? But sometimes, it's not like that. But there are many different ways. At least two different ways that you can interpret the text, and none of them is strong enough to disqualify the other interpretation. So it becomes then mujmal. Mubayyan is clear. Either because there is only one way to read this, which we call it nas, explicit. Nas. Nas here doesn't mean text. Nas here has a special meaning. Nas means a text which is very explicit in its meaning. It's only one way of interpretation. There's only one way of interpretation.
Mubayyan and nas is the same?
No, mubayyan has two types. One is nas, one is zahir. What is zahir? You remember in the first session I told you about zahir al-Qur'an hujja. Zahir, there is an outward meaning, or apparent meaning, outward meaning, which is not 100% clear. It's not explicit, but it's so powerful that uqala who know the rules of that language would interpret any text like that in this way, and they disregard other possibilities. You remember the example I gave you about a person declaring in front of people that I owe this person £1,000. Okay? In the court, he cannot say, I didn't mean really I owe him 1,000 pounds. I meant that he has done some favor to me, that if I want to calculate it in, you know, financial terms, it becomes 1,000 pounds. Otherwise, I don't owe him. We said, although there is such a possibility, but Uqala would not consider this as a serious possibility. Okay? Because, you know, it's always possible that you say something, you write something, then in the court you say, I meant something else. So here, what do the experts do? They bring some common sense people, people with common sense. Say, what do you understand from this? If they say that, yes, there is such a possibility, but we never consider that possibility as a serious possibility, unless there is an evidence, so they dismiss the claim of this person. They say, no, it has to be interpreted in that way. So, Nas and Zahir, both of them are strong. Both of them are hujjah, valid. But with Nas, it's very clear, there is no other possibility. With Zahir, there is another possibility, but the probability of it is not that high that make you wonder between two meanings, which one I should take. It's not 50-50, or it's not even 60-40. It's 80%, something that the other side is not important. You can ignore it. So, dilalatul matn is divided into two. Dirasatul nas wa dirasatul zahir. He doesn't talk about mujmal, but inshallah later we will talk about mujmal. But you can have a footnote here for yourself that it's not that every matn is either nas or zahir. It's better to remember that every text is either mujmal or mubayyan, and then mubayyan is either nas or zahir. Did you understand? Yes.
People in your book have written as nas, zahir, and mubayyan. As three.
No, nas and zahir are two types of mubayyan.
No, in your book they have written like.
No, it must be like this. Mubayyan opposite to mujmal. Nas and zahir are for mubayyan.
Mubayyan is two types, you say?
Yes, nas and zahir. Yeah, it must definitely be like this. So, what is nas? وَاللَّفْظُ الَّذِي يَدُلُّ عَلَى مَعْنًا وَاحِدْ فَقَدْ. The text which has only one meaning. وَلَا تُحْتَمَ الْدَلَالَتُهُ عَلَىٰ مَعْنًا آخَرٍ. There is no possibility of thinking that it indicates another meaning. وَالظَّاهِرُ هُوَ اللَّفْظُ الَّذِي يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ مَعْنًا وَاحِدٍ. It has more than one meaning. But still no problem. Still, it doesn't become ambiguous. Why? Because one of those probabilities is very strong. And uqala, rational people, those who have common sense, they disregard alternative meanings. Illa anna dalalatahu ala ahad ma'ani aqwa min dalalatihi ala al-ma'ani al-ukhra. Its indication for one of the meanings is stronger than its indication for other meanings. And again, I told you, a stronger, not just 51 and 49. A stronger in the sense that it very clearly overweighs so that uqala ignore the other possibilities. It's not just enough to be a stronger. It has to be so strong that undershadows other meanings. Okay, now let's go to Dirasatun Nas, a study of Nas, which is explicit. Please, I repeat again, don't get confused. Nas here doesn't mean text. In order to avoid this for text, we said matn. Although in Arabic, modern Arabic, you can say nas and you mean text. Okay? But here in Usul, when we say nas, we mean what? We mean a text which has explicit meaning. 100%. Is it clear? So, dirasatun nas, a study of explicit text, is very clear. The only thing that you need to do is to make sure that this is nas. If you can make sure that this is explicit, then you don't need to do anything else. Just make sure that this is nas. For example, let us give you one example about a text which is nas, which is explicit. In Surat An-Nur, verse 4, so end of page 37, beginning of page 38, we have this ayah from Surat An-Nur. وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ ثم لم يأتوا بأربعة شهداء. Those who falsely accuse the women who are muhsan, for example, those who are married. Okay, someone is married, then a person accuses this lady that she has done adultery, and they are not able to bring four witnesses. Two is not enough. Three is not enough. Four witnesses. If someone accuses such a lady and cannot bring four witnesses, فَجْلِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدًا, should wipe them, whip them, 80 times. وَلَا تَقْبَلُوا لَهُمْ شَهَادَةً أَبَدًا. And such people, they can never become witness in the court, or, you know, for the qazi, for hakim shar. For all their life, they are not reliable. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. These are sinful people. Because a great crime to accuse a modest lady that she has done, fornication or adultery. So now the question is this. لا تقبلوا لهم شهادة أبدا. Is there any doubt that this indicates that permanently these people are disqualified from becoming a witness? Is there any doubt about this? No. It's obvious. If it was لا تقبلوا لهم شهادة, you may say, maybe it's not 100% clear. Maybe it means don't accept now, but maybe after some time you can accept. Although, even that was zahir, that you should not accept. But by mentioning abadan, never, then it has become 100% clear. Of course, from this aspect is nas. Sometimes a text from one aspect can be nas, from another aspect can be zahir or even mujmal. We are not talking about every aspect. From this side, and that is permanent disqualification of this person to become a witness, there is no ambiguity, there is no other possibility that uqala consider as a serious possibility. Is it clear?
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Hakmian forces in Britain, for example.
Pardon?
This happens quite often here in the UK.
Yeah.
Hakmian force in a country like this, 80 lashes, who would give them? Who would be able to administer the 80 lashes on those people? In Britain, where it's ruled by different countries.
Yeah.
Different
so,
countries.
So this is when Islamic Sharia can be administered.
Huh?
It's not for here. It's where that we have a judge who is just, the court which is judge, and they act. If there is no Islamic government, then it's not administered. It's not the responsibility of people to do it.
So this ayah, according to this ayah, is nas. There is no other probability here.
For this side.
But
we are not talking about everything. We are talking about this point. Is it permanently indicated that he cannot be a witness, or it's temporary? We say it is permanently disqualified because it says abadan. Abadan leaves no other meaning, no other possibility, no other alternative.
Is this only for this kind of incident or for any kind of shahada? They will not, shahada will not be accepted.
Anything.
Any
shahada.
But when in the future he witnesses a crime and he is the fourth witness, and because of him the murderer will be put to death.
No.
Abadan. They will still not accept. And the murderer will walk free.
You think it's murder?
No, but the three testified.
But
the fourth one.
But it's not for murder necessarily four.
Oh, okay. No, for example, crime you need four.
Anyway, if he is the one who completes the number, that is not accepted. He cannot be completing the requirement.
Incident, and he was the only one who saw what happened.
Yes.
And his explanation makes sense, and evidence shows that he was correct. So in this case, we're not taking his witness. We're taking the evidence.
There is a case discussion in fiqh. If the judge becomes certain, not through witnesses, is that accepted or not?
Mm-hmm.
Some people say it's acceptable, because he is certainty, he has certainty. Some people say no. The judge should base the judgment on the evidence. Because maybe a judge is a person who easily gets convinced. So in fiqh, we discuss this, that is the knowledge or certainty of judge sufficient, or it has to be through evidence? Also, the witness, as I think told you before, witness also, when we talked about al-murajal, we said witness should give his testimony an hissen, not an hadsen. So he must have seen this crime by his eyes. He cannot say, I am sure. I am sure has no value. He says, you know, I swear by Quran, by Allah, no value, unless he has seen the crime. And even in the hadith, for someone who wants to bear witness for adultery, it said that it's not just, you know, enough, for example, to see two people together in, you know, in a room or on a bed. It's not enough. So Islam wanted to stop people accusing each other. So if you have seen this and you are only one person, you have to keep silent. Don't spread this. Okay? Because as we said, the surface of society should be, you know, clear. If people start accusing each other and, you know, all these things, and, you know, spy on each other, the society then would not be Islamic society. So it's better. And please remember this, it's very important in Islam. It's better if a criminal is not punished compared to an innocent person to be punished. Because some people say, we want to make sure all the criminals are punished. So even if someone is not innocent, so be punished so that no criminal runs away. This is not Islamic. Islamically, we have to be 100% sure that the person is criminal. So if The requirement is we free people, and some of them are not innocent, no problem. Because we don't want any innocent person to be punished. Do you get the point?
Yes.
It's very important. Yes.
If you think it's appropriate to answer, then answer. If a husband accused the wife for the same crime, and he is the only witness?
No, cannot.
There has to be four witnesses.
There has to be witnesses, but then sometimes the number can change. But no husband can say this alone. But how many witnesses then can be different?
Practically, how can you get four eyewitnesses? Have there been cases where the four eyewitnesses witnessed?
Exactly. Exactly. So this is more to stop people accusing. And this is for the people who are so shameless that in front of five people do this, because one is the one who is doing accusation and four people are witnesses. So this is for shameless people. Otherwise, if na'uzubillah, someone in private does something and you know, you should not disclose this. Because respect of people should, because if a person loses his respect, then tomorrow comes and does other things, you know, without any haya. Haya has to be kept. So although some of Islamic, you know, codes of punishment are very severe, but there are so many conditions that rarely they happen. Yeah, some people think that, for example, if you cut off the fingers of thief, many people become without fingers. It's not the case. This is not, first of all, something that can easily be implemented. It has lots of requirements. And if it happens, it stops other people from doing this. Okay? So, this was one case. Let us give you also a case from Hadith. A Nas from Quran, a Nas from Hadith. Al-Muhrim إِذَا تَزَوَّجَ وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ حَرَامٌ عَلَيْهِ. If someone goes for Umrah or Hajj, and when he is muhrim, you know, he should not marry. So he says, Alhamdulillah, I'm in Mecca, let's marry now. In the condition of ihram, you know. If he is ignorant, it's okay. I mean that marriage does not become haram forever. But if he knows, Sheikh has told him not to do this, and still he says, no, I want to do it right now. So if he knows this and still does it, Hadith says, لَمْ تَحِلَّ لَهُ أَبَدًا. Tahilla. This ha refers to what?
To Ihram?
No. To that lady. That wife. Lam tahilla means that zoja, that lady. So, now if someone says, what about, for example, marrying the same person after going back to their own country, after 6 months, after another Hajj. We say, look, it says, لَمْ تَحِلَّ لَهُ أَبَدًا. It's Nas. No way to play around the Hadith.
What's the translation of تَحِل? تَحِل?
It's not permissible. It's not allowed. أَبَدًا. It never is allowed. So, they cannot say, okay, after 6 months, we repeat the abd, we repeat the marriage. No, abada. So, we gave you an example from Quran, another example from Hadith, for something which is nas, explicit. Yes?
Sheikh, what do you say to the one who says, إِن تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَةً لَيَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ. So the Prophet did 71 times.
So that's that. If that's correct, then because it says, based on that condition, with 70, Allah is not going to forgive. But if it is more, it can change. Also, there's a discussion whether land is always for ta'abid or not. Many people say land is for ta'abid, but some people say land is for long time. You know, land.
Be long time as well.
So this verse for the Munafiqeen, we don't consider it nas in this aspect. In istaghfarat lahum amna qawlan istaghfar lahum la yaghfir Allah. Law istaghfart lahum 70 maratan la yaghfir Allah. It's not considered nas from.
No, it's not nas. Okay, this is nas. Then we have zahir. Yes.
Okay, but you say lam can be for long time or for
lan.
Lan.
There is a discussion. Some people say lan is for ta'bid, is eternal. Some people say lan can include also something which is going to be the case for some time in future, but not forever.
So how long would they be not allowed to marry?
For example, of course, I'm not saying that this is my idea, but for example, some people say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa, لَن تَرَانِي يَا مُوسَى. Okay, like Ash'arites. They say لَن تَرَانِي doesn't mean forever. It means in dunya. On the day of judgment, you can see Allah. But at least zahir of land is eternity. At least the zahir, but whether it is nas or is another issue. Okay. Zahir, as we said, is a text which is clear because although it can be interpreted different ways, but one of those interpretations is very strong. And uqala who know the language would consider only that one. For zahir, we have several discussions. This is helping you, inshallah, for the rest of the book. Al-Awamir. One of the things that we discuss in Usul al-Fiqh is Awamir, commands. When there is Sighay Amr or Esmefail, which means command, what is Zahir? Does it mean that it is wujub or it can be Istihbab? Is it Fawri, immediate or no? Many things we have to discuss. Awamir. Nawahi, prohibitions. You know, sighay nahi. Okay? For example, if it is said, La ta'kulu al-riba. Does it mean it is makruh or it is haram? So, awamir, nawahi, mafahim. Sometimes we have a text from which we understand another thing, implications. There are implications. For example, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِالنَّبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا آيَةُ النَّبَئِ. If a sinful person brings you a news, you must investigate. One implication of this is that if a trustworthy person brings you a news, you don't need to inquire. This is mafhum. Or Allah says about parents, La taqul lahuma uff. So from this you understand that you cannot beat your parents. If you cannot tell them, you know, bad words, so how can you beat them? Okay? So we have mafhum al-muwafiqa, mafhum al-mukhalifa, all these things, inshallah, we'll discuss later. Al-am wal-khas. Am and khas. For example, sometimes it is said, akrim al-ulama. Then it is said, la tukrim al-fussagha min al-ulama. How do we put these together? On the one hand said, respect all ulama. Then another place says, don't respect sinful ulama. How you put these together? Am and khas. Or mutlaq al-muqayyad. For example, once it is said, "A'tiq raqabatan," another place said, "A'tiq raqabatan mu'minatan." Does the slave have to be believer or doesn't need to be believer? So these are the things that inshallah we have to discuss in Mabahithul Alfaz, in the discussions about the text, linguistic principles, help us to understand what is meant when there is sighe am, when there is nah, there is am, khas, mutlaq, mughayyad, mafhum, all these things, inshallah, you will understand. So, the general procedure is this. I am finishing in a few minutes, inshallah. Not my life, inshallah. So, the general procedure is this. First, you make sure what is the apparent or outward or zahir of the text. What is the zahir? So first, establish that. Second, you have to make sure that there is no overriding evidence. Because if you remember, we said zahir has other alternative meanings. Maybe there is an evidence in favor of one of those alternative meanings that strengthens them and brings them up. So you have to make sure that there is no evidence to suggest otherwise. Okay? So establish al-ma'na al-zahiri. Second, you have to establish that there is no qarinay sarife, means overriding evidence. And then third, you say, Zahir is Hujja, there is no other evidence, so this is the ruling. For example, you have hadith which says, Igtasil yawm al-jum'ah. Here, the Zahir, it is wujub qusl al-jum'ah. But then we have another hadith which says, La ba'asa bitark salat qusl yawm al-jum'ah. There is no problem. So you realize that this is mustahab. But it says, اختصل الجنابة, and there is no other thing which says, it's okay not to do غسل الجنابة, so it is wajib. Inshallah, from next session, we discuss Al-Awamir. A discussion about Awamir, commands. What can be understood as ma'na zahiri, the apparent meaning for commands. Commands can be sighe amr, can be esme fail. You know esme fail? Sometimes esme fail is also meaning amr. Like what? Like for example, sah. Sah means uskut. So although it's esme fail, but it means command. Inshallah, we talk about commands, inshallah, next week. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. Thank you.